If I was more techie, I could have all of this on one little device, but I'm not. Good morning, everybody. It's really nice to see you. It is good to be together to worship our Lord and Savior. Before I do anything else, I don't know if we have any visitors, but I have to make a disclaimer. I need to let you know that I'm not a preacher, okay? All of the members here already know that because they've heard me before, but you haven't, and therefore, I need to let you know that. Even so, I am a Christian, and 1 Peter 3:15 instructs Christians with these words, "But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an account to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." Take that to heart. Or, excuse me, that's not part of the scripture. I take that to heart. When I read that, I take that to heart. I have hope in this life. And because of that, I'm supposed to be ready to give an account or give a reason why I have that hope. This is how I sow seeds in the hearts of those that I come into contact with. I tell them about the Lord. I don't worry about the increase. That's His job. I marvel at those who are guided by God to preach the word as a full-time occupation. They are literally trusting God with their daily cares and providing or provisions for their family. But the truth is, all people are blessed by God's provision for their needs, even though we may not think about it or appreciate the God who provides it. Doesn't take it away. Our members know that we are looking for a preacher to work with us full-time here in Ventura. This has been an enlightening experience for the elders, or at least for me, and we've talked enough to know this. From a long list of interviews, the search committee and the elders chose two candidates that we brought out to get to know better and just experience them and their families. After much prayer and meditation and taking into account your input from the survey of a few weeks ago, the elders have come to believe that neither of these fellows is the right person for this church. Both of these men are men of God, and both of these men have outstanding qualities. They just aren't the right fit for this church. And I wish them well and hope they wish us well. But I'm convinced, nonetheless, that those who have been involved in this process have grown a great deal. We have Friends Speak that's in the works. Slow, but it's in the works. We have our shower mission that has started. Slow, but in the works. You ladies, I understand, are making little bags of kindness, I'll call them, to hand out to the homeless when you encounter them. That's a good thing. All of these things are good things. There are Bible studies that are being done outside of our meeting here. Those are good things. We are doing good things. I want you to be encouraged, because even though the numbers may look down, even though Dave is hundreds of miles away, we are surviving. And not only are we surviving, we're thriving. I believe that. We will come out better in the end for what we're going through. I want you to take courage, okay? I need your courage. I can't do it alone. I need your courage. Let me see, where was I? Throughout this procedure, we've continued to have meaningful lessons and classes because the members, you folks, you have continued to support the leaders here and the elders here. And the elders appreciate that. And we want to thank you. I know sometimes the communication may not be what it should be. That's because we're men. But bear with us. We're getting better, I hope. We are blessed with many competent people here in this congregation that are able to do so many things that make God's work or allows God's work to be done here in Ventura. Please persist in your prayers as we continue to work for or continue to look for a fellow worker and a family. It's not just a worker, it's a family. We want them to work with us so that we can be what we want to be. And I believe that's Jesus Christ to those we meet. We want to be Jesus in the lives of those we come across. Okay? In our human reasoning, we're not always, or we don't feel that we're successful in our attempts to be Jesus to those we meet. Still, remember this. Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11. God spoke and said, "As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." That's God talking, folks. So listen, if I get this right, you say something to someone about the creator of the universe, and that same creator says his word will accomplish what he desires and achieve his purpose. Brothers and sisters, do you believe that? Do you believe that? If you believe that, it sure makes it a whole lot easier to plant those seeds, knowing even the smallest effort will not return empty. We don't always do a good job of telling someone about the Lord, but you keep trying. And I guarantee you, it will touch their hearts. God told me, and I believe it. The City of Children is one of our missions. When I think about the City of Children in Ensenada, Mexico, the word extraordinary or special comes to mind. For years now, I've been calling it a magical place, and I thought on this, looking at this, no, it's not magic, because magic is from men. It is sleight of hand or some sort of, I don't know, it's not real. This is real. The City of Children is real. It's not magical, but boy, for the kids that are there, it's a place where they really have a home. Where am I? The church, this church, has three children at the City of Children who depend on us for their care. I've learned this last visit that the cost per child has doubled over the years, and they have had to raise more support to maintain the level of service they extend to these children. I'm not sure of the future, neither here nor in Mexico, but I believe most of the future adults who once called the City of Children their home are far better citizens because they grew up in a Christian home. I could tell you stories about some of these kids that have grown up and the things they've gone off and done, but we don't have time. The children living there now are Mexico's best asset for a better future because most of them have lived through nightmares. Yet a handful of godly people decided to do something about that nightmare and build a home for these little ones. Those little ones grew up being taught those little ones grow up being taught God's word, such beliefs as Psalm 25:3, where they find, "No one who hopes in you, God, will ever be put to shame. But shame will come to those who are treacherous without cause." These children, early in their life, many of these kids witnessed treachery without cause, which certainly caused in their lives pain. The pain and the guilt and the shame that they felt was caused by those that they loved the most. Family. How family can do some of the things they do to children amazes me. Nonetheless, those kids embrace the hope that's in that city of children, and they learn that God can rebuild their lives. It's not easy, yet they begin to trust again, and they believe that they can live a better life. I want to challenge all of you to continue to help these children both financially and with prayer. Monetary gifts sustain and build up the city of children. Even so, it's our prayers that they need the most. And I encourage you, please pray for those kids. Both would do quite nicely, really. Let's look at some photos from the city of children, and I hope I can... Oh, I'll turn myself off there. Okay. Aha. Here's the start. And I have a key so that I can run through this sort of rapidly. This is the line at the border. It was easy that day. It was not a big line. This is the Tijuana River. There's a lot of activity in this river. There wasn't much water in it when we crossed, but I'll bet you a few weeks ago or a month ago, this thing was cooking. Anyway, this is the road out of Tijuana on the way to Ensenada. That's a fence you see there to the right. This is more from the road. That's a fence you see off in the distance. Okay, here we are. This is one of the toll booths. There are three toll booths going down to Ensenada. I have to pronounce his name right. Andres Manuel Lopez Obrador, the new president of Mexico, promised to eliminate the toll booth charges, and he's done so. So we saved a whole $7.95 going down there. Thank you, President Obrador. Here's the young folks that went with us making desserts for dinner. This is Sergio, Lupi, Caleb, and his mom, Patty. As you see her ear and nose there, just barely. Here's some guy helping with a prep. I don't know. He just walked in one day. Here's Ken Airy testing Rosa's meatloaf recipe, and he approved wholeheartedly. We served meatloaf, mashed potatoes, mixed vegetables, garlic bread, and dessert. We had a little trouble with the gravy, but if I didn't mention that, you wouldn't have known about it. So, it didn't seem to matter much to the kids. They loved eating American food. We love eating the food that the cooks cook there. It's their everyday food, but to us, it's so special, it's unreal. Anyway, they like American food. This is Michelle, the little girl to the right. That's one of our kids, and she's there with her friends. This is more kids. These pictures are dark. I'm sorry about that. It's just the nature of the game. Well, this is more kids. I don't know which. Okay, here we go. I know where I'm at now. Ah, thank you. That's okay. Here's the kids trying to figure out what this gringo is saying during his devotional. Sebastian and Lupe helped me translate, and I think the kids finally got it, but boy, every year I leave there saying, I'm going to come back knowing Spanish, and every year I go back and lied to myself. This is the American dining room. There are pictures and history of the City of Children all over the walls. This one is one that particularly grabbed me. I don't know, can you read that? Do I need to read it to you? The children have always been and will always be the most important part of the City of Children. God has blessed us with the responsibility of caring for thousands of these precious souls. Please keep us, as well as the thousands of children we have yet to meet, in your prayers as we continue to strive to love God by loving others. I just love that. Who are these guys? Ken Airy. Ken Airy's involved in the Lions Club, I think. Is that right? I don't know if it's through the Lions Club, but every month he serves, he works with a bunch of people that serve meals to the homeless. And I understand that his responsibility really is cleaning up. And he cleans up for about 100 people. That's a big job. Anyway, he was trying to teach me how to clean up, and obviously I was distracted and wanted to go goof off or something. Okay, we're finally done with dinner and the Devo and the cleanup, and now it's time to relax. That's Lupe, Brian, Sarah, Sergio, Caleb, and Sebastian. And here's Ken talking to them. And he's always trying to encourage folks. And here's the rest of his audience that he was trying to encourage. That's Patty and Vicky, Bob Perez. He's the preacher at Santa Paula. I don't know who that old guy is that's fallen asleep. And this is Raimundo Castillo. He and Patty are husband and wife. Okay. This is Sunday worship service, and service is over, and that's our precious Carla. I don't know. Carla makes me cry because she's so sweet. She's a wonderful little girl. She's 20 years old. And I think, I may be wrong, but I think she about 2 years old when she got there, I think. Anyway, this is Tom Began. He's the American director. There's also a Mexican director, a couple, Patty and Ricardo. You'll see their home here in a minute. They're talking with Reyes and Rosa about something about the home. Tom's a good guy. He works hard. He is retired from UPS. But he's working harder now than he ever worked for UPS. He lives in, what's the name of that place? Temecula, thank you. He drives down there anywhere from 3 to 5 times a week. Sometimes he stays down there for several days and then comes back and sees his wife and kids. And she's about to retire, so she's going to be able to do more of this with him. But this is the Teen Girls' New Kitchen. And you can't really appreciate it in this picture, but it's beautiful. There's a lot of churches that have gone to a lot of work to remodel some of these old buildings, and they've done a nice job. This is one of the girls from the baby dorm. I don't know her name. I'm trying to... Yeah, there we are. In the baby dorm, the kids are there up to 6 years old. This is Michelle's brother Eleazar sitting in the chair. Okay? Eleazar is one of our other kids. So we have Eleazar, his sister Michelle, and Carla. We were told that Eleazar, he had a little sore on his finger and he kept picking at it. And so they put him in the chair to keep him from picking at it. But that's not really true. They had a bag on it to try to keep him from going at it. But Rosa says, well, that's going to get infected, you know. And so they realize that. Anyway, we found out later. Let me see where I'm at. We found out later that he was what they call an instigado. Am I saying that right? Pardon?
Castigado.
That means he's in trouble for behavior. So they put him there because he had been misbehaving. And I don't think the mamas wanted us to know that our child was misbehaving. I don't know. But that was really the case. Anyway, he's a sweet boy. He has some emotional issues, some behavioral issues, obviously. But they are working with him now with counselors and trying to address all of this. He's a good kid. Here's the big kid. All the kids loved Reyes. They just scrambled over to him and just thought he was the greatest thing since popcorn. This is one of the mamas, and she's let this little fella look at something on her phone. It's amazing. Even though there's a lot of poverty in Mexico, everybody got a phone. They know how to use a phone. So it's amazing. Here's Rosa, and this is Leo, right? Leo, he has a lot of neurological damage, but he's a sweet boy. He has a lot of needs. Here's Leo again walking. When Leo first came to the City of Children, he could not walk. I mean, they do amazing things there. These kids flourish there. This little girl, she never smiled. Makes you wonder what was going on. She never smiled. She's beautiful. This little girl, she decided she wanted some new shoes, so she made shoes out of buckets. And stickers and books are always a big draw. They like playing with those things. And here's that goofball along with Eleazar, and we were acting up for the camera. And this is one of the mamas in the baby dorm, and Rosa. Thank God for Rosa and Reyes, because we can learn about what's going on down there. Rather than trying to talk in broken English. There's Carla. She's getting taller. Carla's 20 years old now. She has a lot of problems, but she is really doing well. She did not go to public school because the public schools there don't have programs for children with learning disabilities. So the City of Children did the best they could with her. The government did supply speech therapists and physical therapy for a while, but they only supply the physical therapy now. She also now has tutors that are helping her with her reading. Tom Begin, has told me that in all likelihood, Carla will never leave the home because she simply could not make it on the outside. Although she's 20 years old, she's probably 10 or 12, I don't know, if that. But she's a sweet girl. Where am I? Oh, yeah. Last year, I didn't get to go to the City of Children, and I really missed it. So this year, when I saw Carla, I asked her, "Do you remember me?" And she said clearly, "Yes, yes." And I said, "Do you remember my name?" And with a big smile, she repeated, Rus. So that, I don't know, it's funny, little things can really get to you, you know. Here's Rosa with Carla. Or no, this isn't Carla, this is one of the other teen girls. Here's Rosa with Carla. Here's all the teen girls. By the way, the City of Children right now doesn't have as many kids as they've always had. They have about 60 right now. And rather than go through that, the Mexican government demanded that those who have orphanages, they have to meet certain criteria and everything. So they were changing everything up. And as the children at the City of Children got older, grew up, maybe went home to a relative or whatever, they did not replace those children because they wanted to focus their efforts on making all of the changes so they could get in operation again. That's been like a 2-year or more project. Tom says they're ready now. They're going to open the doors and get as many kids in there as they can. So pray about that. Here we are in the American kitchen. I don't know what we're doing. Here's game time. I don't know what they call this, but it's jump rope with three people. I kind of like to go back and forth and make you think he's... Anyway. Here's another game. This is called cornhole, and you throw a... You all know what that is, I guess. And we had a lot of nail polish and everything for all the girls so they could doll themselves up. And volleyball was a big draw. And just sitting around goofing off was a big draw, I guess. That's Raimundo Castillo from Santa Paula. And kites. You notice those lines there through the picture? Yours truly had a lot of fun getting kites out of the power wires. But something was lost in translation. The kids didn't understand me that, no, you can't be over there. But they flew them really well. This one had needed some technical issues. You see those hills over there? Well, you see this, let me see. Let me go back. Oh, there it is. That's Ricardo and Patty's home. They're the Mexican directors of the home. You see those hills off in the distance. On the other side of those hills is Ensenada. Ricardo told me that a few years back, the kids they saved string, and they had a kite thing, and so they're tying string on as it's going out. And he said it was just little colored dots off in the distance. Who knows how far they flew these kites. Anyway, they like that. And now it's the piñata time. And boy, I watched some of these kids. You know how to get candy from a piñata? You have to dive on your belly with your hands out and just scoop it up. Okay? Oh, I can hear myself now. Anyway, I'm always afraid somebody's going to get hit on the head with a bat when they do this, but we've never seen any fatalities. Lots of candy. And here was a puppet show that the Santa Paula guys brought. This was Bob. And really, the puppets, the way they behaved and all, tickled everybody more than the message. But the message was good. And here's all the puppeteers. And here's the audience, and they seem to enjoy that. And here's Ken. Ken always sings Hallelujah. Is that the song? Hallelujah, Hallelujah. He gets the kids to sing in that and gets them all pumped up. And here's the kids that went with us. Sarah, Sergio, Caleb, Lupe, Brian, Sebastian, and Vicky. And thank God for those kids because they helped us a lot. And here's the adults. There's Reyes and Ken. That's Patty. Behind Patty is Tom. That's Raimundo next to Patty. That's me between their heads. That's Bob Perez, Carolyn, and Rosa. And here's Rosa and Michelle. This is one of our kids and our birthday thing. There was a confusion this time because Eleazar was being, he was being scolded. And because Carla went back to the dorm and took a shower and got ready for bed, and then we couldn't get her back to, I don't know what happened, you know, but we only were able to celebrate with Michelle. But our children have their gifts and they're going to be enjoying them. But it wasn't quite what we had hoped it would be. You see this graded area. Every time I've gone there, I've thought, I watch kids play up there sometime and there's rocks and holes and all this junk, and oh my goodness, it'd be nice if they actually had a field. Well, somebody from Temecula came up there, they got a bulldozer, and they've got a field. They just need to... Okay, I guess it don't go no more. Okay. Well, I don't know what's happening, but that's okay. I need to wrap it up anyway. In closing, thank you. In closing, I'd like to read Galatians 3, 26 and 27 to you. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. Christian churches throughout the world do not talk about baptism much. Most ask you to recite the sinner's prayer and then you're saved. I have scoured my Bible for the sinner's prayer and I've never found one. And if you do, please enlighten me. I perceive that this is an astute audience. So I believe that you understand what it said in Galatians when it told us, all of you who were baptized into Christ were clothed. You have been clothed in Christ. You have put him in charge of your life. Okay? So again, I want, you folks are sharp, so let's try another one. 1 Peter 3:20 and 22. This starts talking about Noah. And then, to those who were disobedient long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built, in it only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism. Now, our baptism that now saves you also. It is not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. You know that pledge of a clear conscience that they talk about? It's when you obey God. When you obey God, your conscience can be clear. When you do the things that he's asked you to do, you can have a clear conscience. Okay? In Proverbs 18, 15, and 16, and I use 16 a lot at the Lord's table when we're giving. And I'm going to kind of flip it today. It says, the heart of the discerning acquires knowledge, for the ears of the wise seek it out. Okay, discerning means astute. Astute means sharp. Sharp means smart. All of these things are the same. So as I get it, so smart people acquire knowledge of God. Wise people listen, and your heart is affected. And then verse 16, I've always loved this. A gift opens the way and ushers the giver into the presence of the great. Well, there is a gift being extended to those of you now. The gift is from God, and it's his Son, Jesus Christ. This passage, I believe, is referring to when we give a gift, we get ushered into the presence of God because of what we're doing. But I would submit to you as well, when we obey God, we read something in here, everybody's told us to do this, that, or the other, but God's word says this specifically, and we read it and we obey it, then, here's the scripture, a gift opens the way and ushers him into the presence of the great. So, a gift is being offered to you today. If we accept, when we give a gift, we are in the presence of the great. So a gift is being offered to you today. Jesus died so that you could live. Won't you obey him? Won't you have a clear conscience? I pray earnestly that if any of you here don't know God, that you'll muster up the courage to walk down this aisle and do something about it. We don't know about tomorrow. I don't. Maybe you know more than I do, but I know that right now in my life, because I'm trying to be an obedient Christian, that I don't have to worry about stuff that a lot of the world worries about. And I don't want you to have to worry about it either. So as we sing a song right now, I hope and pray that if you have a need, you'll come forward, because we want to help you. Thank you.